The song just said, a consuming fire this morning, igniting your word in our hearts, and may it be embedded in our minds as our minds are renewed to your word and as we apply the things that we're going to learn this morning. And Lord, we lift up Steve and Carol, and Lord, that just full grace be bestowed upon them concerning their home, Mexico, all the hard work they're doing right now. And Lord, especially for Connor and Camlin, Marie, all those that I've just been told possibly, not sure, possibly might have been exposed to COVID. Lord God, touch the little one. Touch Camlin right now, Lord. Be with the family and remove any fear that might be there. And Lord, just bring healing to Connor and Marie, whatever it might be. Give me strength, O Lord, for these next two services now. I love you. We praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all say, amen. Turning your Bibles with me this morning, we're going to get the second shot. Amen. If you weren't here with us last Sunday, then you don't know what I'm really talking about. So you need to go listen online and get the first shot for the vaccine so you'll have immunity. Amen. Now, what I want to do before we begin this morning, I want us to look at verse 6 and let me read there and then just a few verses after that. It says, this is what we learned last Sunday. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding with it with thanksgiving. Now that's partially what we learned last Sunday, amen? And then Paul opens up with that word in verse 8. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. And the church says, amen. This is part two of a message from last Sunday. Remember that I used an illustration from the expositor. His name is Wink, great expositor there. He said this. He said, the epistle of Colossians is a vaccination against heresy. And that's what we're talking about this morning. The only vaccine against heresy, we're in our part two of our message. Remember what a vaccine does? It provides immunity for a specific, say, disease. Well, the disease we're talking about this morning is false teaching from the Gnostics. It's a teaching that would bring or take a believer away from the truths that are in Christ Jesus our Lord. So last Sunday, we took the first shot, which enabled us to stand as one man with one heart, with one mind, rooted and established in the faith in Christ Jesus, and which enabled us to stand against the Gnostic virus. And the Gnostic virus is still with us today. Amen? Are y'all with me? Yes. Open your hearts now. I need you to open your hearts this morning. And this Sunday, of course, the second shot. Now, you know, if you are in the vaccine or not into the vaccine today, that's your affair, not mine. But they say that the second shot gives you double immunity. So we received the first shot last Sunday, but this shot here, if you will believe it with all of your heart, if you will act upon it with all of your heart, not only do you have double immunity, you will be immune from all the false teaching that can ever be brought toward you. Amen? False teaching is smooth, it's subtle of one. The devil doesn't come to you and say, hey, I'm the devil. I he doesn't do that. I'm going to kill you. No, he doesn't say that. He comes to you and the wolf comes in sheep's clothing. Amen? He's a deceiver. So now this immunity this morning, this is so vital, and that is this. That is knowing and believing who you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember that the Gnostics, this virus, this infection that they had and that they were carrying, they wanted to vaccinate, if you will, all of the believers, not unbelievers, believers in Colossae, and of course they already had infected Laodicea, as we learned last week, but they're still with us today. This Gnostic teaching, this false teaching, and so forth. They denied the supremacy of Christ, his deity, his humanity, his sufficiency for salvation, and so forth. That's what they were teaching, that Jesus wasn't enough. They trusted, remember, in this knowledge or gnosis the Greek word, which we get our term Gnostics or Gnosticism, in which they believe that it took a secret knowledge plus Jesus to really, really be saved instead of believing the simple gospel, the good news. Now listen, verse 8, it starts out with that word, beware. As then and today, there are false teachers. They want to vaccinate you, and they want to vaccinate your thinking, and to make you believe that Jesus is not enough, that you have to have something else to truly, truly be saved. And I want you to notice something about verse 8. Verse 8, and we're actually Colossians, but verse 8 is not written to lost people. It is written to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the key word this morning through our entire taking this second shot, if you will, the key word is this, the word complete. Say that with me, complete. Don't ever forget that word. You should memorize that with all of your heart, because this is the only vaccine against heresy to provide immunity beginning in verse 8. Paul the apostle from prison, writing to the church he had never seen, he says, beware, take heed, there's a warning. He says, lest anyone should what? Cheat you. That word in the Greek is only here in the New Testament. It literally means to kidnap. Like in ancient Greek writings, it was used as like someone breaking into a home and kidnapping a virgin and carrying that person off. It means to steal from you. It means to rob you. It means to take you away captive. And what the false teachers wanted to do then and today, they want to take you away from truth into error, into the lie, to make you a slave. That's exactly what false teaching does. It makes a person a slave. Now listen carefully. This word cheat you, kidnap, okay? The false teachers, they were men stealers. Now listen carefully. They're not trying to win anyone that's lost. They want to kidnap believers who don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. They don't have a firm foundation. They don't really know if they even doubt their own salvation. And many are like that today. Listen, you know, look at their method. It says, beware of those who can kidnap you or cheat you through that one word. What is it? Philosophy. That word is only found here in the New Testament. Now, this wisdom or philosophy means love of wisdom. Now, we're not talking about the wisdom of God here. Paul was talking about the wisdom of this world. And I want to say something else. You know, philosophy, I took philosophy, of course, when I was in college. You know, my professor was a wonderful man. Matter of fact, he was a believer. Paul is not condemning the modern word philosophy. This is not what that word meant back then, okay? I mean, you know, the philosophy of the day. I remember I was in my class, and I don't know why, but my philosophy teacher always picked on me. Now I'll go to the other side. He picked on me, you know? And so I remember one day he goes, Bill, he was from India, you know, I'm not mocking anybody. I'm just showing. Bill, I said, yes, sir. He said, how far can a fox run into the forest? I said, what? I thought he was messing with me, but he was serious. This is the study of semantics and language and philosophy. And I said, well, I don't really know. He said, we can only run halfway into the forest. And then he's running out of the forest. You didn't get it, did you? I mean, you see what I'm talking about. Never mind. I'm not talking about that kind of philosophy here. See, it's a noble thing to really be a lover of true wisdom, a true seeker of knowledge. The problem with that was the Gnostics were not true seekers of wisdom. Colossians 2:3, Jesus is the sum of all wisdom and all knowledge. Amen? They weren't seeking that knowledge. They were not teaching that knowledge. They were teaching another knowledge, another wisdom, and even another mystery. And that mystery was mystery religions. It wasn't the mystery which is Christ Jesus our Lord. And they were from hell. All that teaching was from hell. Listen, you know, when you study out the philosophers of old, like Nietzsche, for example, remember that coin, God is dead, remember? Most people don't know the full thing that he said. He said, God is dead. God remains dead. And we've killed him. John Lennon, anybody remember John? The Beatles, remember the Beatles? He said this, it seems to me that the only true Christians were the Gnostics who believe in self-knowledge, not God's knowledge, self-knowledge becoming Christ themselves. Now see, that's the kind of thinking of the world. That's kind of the philosophy that Paul was talking about. So, you know, Phillips' translation, I believe it is, he calls that word philosophy intellectualism, okay? So Paul called their philosophy, look at it, what? Empty deceit. In other words, it sounds great what they're saying. He said, but you know, it's just empty. Someone translated it like this. It's just high-sounding nonsense. Or Phillips' translation, it's a hollow sham. The word empty means simply this, devoid. And what we're talking about here would be devoid of divine truth. It says empty deceit. If you did a word study of the word deceit in the New Testament, you would find that it is mentioned 19 times. And every time that it is mentioned in the New Testament, it has to do with the lives of Satan and the working power of Satan himself. And so this is demonic deceit, if you will. Satan is the lying energy behind every false teaching, behind every cult, behind every false gospel that has ever been. Did you know that? There is only one Savior. There is only one gospel. Amen. Jesus told us in John 8:44, he said, you know about the devil, he said, you know what, he was a murderer from the beginning. He murdered humanity, didn't he? Because of what he did with Adam and Eve, passed along to all of us. He says there was no truth in him. He doesn't stand in truth. He doesn't even know what truth is. He hates truth. Do you understand? He says, oh, and he goes on, he says, he's the father of lies. His very resource is lying. He doesn't know how to do anything but lie. Listen to me. He's the father, Jesus said, of every lie that there is from the beginning of the garden to this very second. He's the father of every lie, every false gospel, every false religion. He is behind all of it, loved one. And not only that, you need to remember that this Gnostic teaching, which was of the devil, the devil is the enemy. He's the enemy that's of all that is good, all that is right, all that is kind, all that is loving. He's the enemy of faith and the father of unbelief. He's the most wicked, vile entity in all of creation. And he is consumed with one thing, and he can only get his pleasure out of one thing, and that is sin. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He says, and again, he says, oh, beware of those who kidnap you. How? According to the tradition of men. So where did the Gnostics' philosophy come from? It was handed down. That's what that, according to the tradition of men, it was handed down from the early fathers of mysticism and so forth. It was handed down to them, but it came from men. It didn't come from God. Listen, just because people, you know, hand certain traditions down to families over the years, does that mean it's necessarily true? Of course not. No, the false teachers, their traditions were so deceptive, and the reason that they were deceptive is because, look at it, it was according to the principles of the world. Not the principles of heaven, the principles of this world. That is a very debated passage. The word principle defined means basic principles, elementary principles. It means literally the alphabet, the ABCs of life, and so forth. It's a very difficult word. It also, that word principle, means the notes on a musical scale. But what Paul was saying, because he's coming against the teaching of the Gnostics, he's saying that the Gnostics, they're like learning their little ABCs. They're still in kindergarten. And they're playing with secret demonic knowledge. They're not speaking or seeking God's knowledge at all. You know, Moffat's translation is the one I'm going to use here because I believe personally that it is the best translation. I believe it's deeper than the ABCs. I believe it's deeper than just the elementary basics. Moffat's translation fits our text much better. He says the word is elemental spirits or spirit beings, meaning the demons, okay? Now, demons, they believe that angels, of course, these were fallen angels, they believe that the heavenlies, meaning like astrology, the study of the planets and the stars and all of that, they believed that demons, which they considered not fallen angels, but true angels, which they were deceived, they controlled and guided the destiny of every man in mankind. That's how deceived that they were. Listen, never, ever forget, loved one, what is Satan's main goal? It's not really to steal. Oh, it is, but it's not. To kill, destroy. Absolutely. That's not his main goal. Did you know that Satan is not trying to destroy humanity? Oh, he'll destroy your walk if he can. Destroy you, get you away from God. Of course he would. That's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to have humanity under his control. See, he wants, remember, the Antichrist is going to want the worship of every person on earth, remember? Yes, that's what he wants. So the God of this age, little g, the God of this age, his ministers, the Gnostics, loved one, they have the same goal then and today, and that is to rob the people of Colossae, the believers, and us, to rob us from the true, incredible riches that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And look at the next one now. And it says, and not according, or literally, and not after Christ. Now, this means the person of Christ, not the teachings of our Lord, okay? So their teachings were not according to truth, because Jesus is the truth, he is the way. Now, it's very important now that we get this about this cult, these people. The false teachers were not teaching the people of Colossae, the Christians there, or in Laodicea. They weren't teaching them to deny Jesus Christ. Dethrone, yes. Deny, no. They were teaching, listen, if you really want to be saved, you have to make Jesus part of this new system that we're teaching. And they did that so they would deny and lessen, in their eyes, the supremacy of Jesus Christ. In other words, he wasn't enough to really save you. Now, with all that being said, we move now into the second shot. Loved one, the verses that we are going to cover this morning, I know that you have read them a million times, but they are glorious. They are the most incredible passages in all Scripture concerning the person of Christ, his deity, his humanity, and his sufficiency for salvation and his preeminence. Amen? Jesus is the creator of all things. He sustains all things, and all things are by him. Amen? And what we're going to look at right now, we need to know something. We have to know and believe in our hearts who we truly are in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this second infusion, this second vaccine, the final one that gives us that true immunity, okay, is the Word of God, of course. But here's the deal. We are completely complete in Christ. Let me say that again. I love saying that. We are right now, present tense, if Jesus Christ is your Lord, no matter how immature you are in Jesus or how mature you are in Jesus, we are this very minute completely complete in Christ Jesus. Get that into your heart. Let it be embedded into your thinking. And let it come against anything that would challenge you. Amen? We are completely complete in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 9. It says, for in him, meaning Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Fullness, there's that word again, pleroma. Man, listen, all that God is, Jesus is. As one scholar said, Jesus Christ the Lord is the exhaustion of God, because he is God. He's the visible expression of the invisible God, loved one. Oh, man, listen, Jesus at birth at Bethlehem separated him from every man that was from all mankind. Amen. Only one man, only one person, our Lord, can fulfill John 1:14. Let me read it to you. It says, and the Word became flesh. Now, the Gnostics denied that, remember. And dwelt among us, or literally pitched his tent, or presenced himself among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of God, Jesus, left heaven and became what he had never been ever in his life, flesh. He became the God-man, fully God and fully man. Amen? Oh, and again, the Gnostics denied his deity. They denied his humanity. Oh, listen, right this very minute, we have on the throne at the right hand of the Father, we have the God-man. Amen. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Praise the Lord for that. He is there right this minute. And look what it says now in verse 10. It says, you are Calvary Chapel. You are present tense. You are right this minute complete in him. That's that word, pleru again. You are filled to the brim with your Savior. You're part of his body, part of his bone, part of his flesh, it says in Ephesians. Amen? Oh, listen, we are complete in him who's the head of all principality and power. Here's the problem. False teachers then, false teachers today, here's what they do. They offer you, yes, Jesus, of course, Jesus. However, you're not really complete. And if you'll listen to me, I will make you complete. So they were offering to complete the believers by initiating them into this secret cult that they were a part of, the mysteries and all of that and so forth. Listen, when you were born again, the very moment that you were born from above, you were born completely complete. Now, that's your position. Do you understand? Completely complete. It says in John 1:16, and of his fullness, that pleroma, of his fullness, Jesus's, we have all received. So, loved one, listen, we have taken that second shot. Christ in you, the hope or the certain, sure hope of glory, meaning our salvation, meaning that heaven is our home. Right now, we share his very fullness. Matter of fact, the Bible, Ephesians, teaches that the church is the fullness of Christ. Think about that. Man, in Christ alone, nothing else, he offers you his completeness. It doesn't get any gooder than that. Amen? I mean, that is incredible. So listen, do we need human philosophy? No. We don't need the wisdom of man. The wisdom of man is foolishness unto God. Do we need traditions that are handed down? No, they have no power. They're handed down by men. They're not handed down by God. Listen, here's the deal. If you believe these truths that we're learning this morning, here's the deal. You will never be cheated. You will never be kidnapped. You will never be taken away if you truly get into God's Word and renew your mind to these truths right here. The Bible teaches us in 2 Peter 1:3, it says, God has given unto us his divine power, past fact, present reality, given the divine power of God. And he says, and given to us all things, say that word, all things that pertain to life, all things that pertain to godliness. Here's how we got it. Through the knowledge of him, meaning Jesus, who called us by glory. Glory, meaning where we go from glory to glory to glory into Christ Jesus, Christ likeness. And it says, and virtue. That virtue is the courage to walk in what God has already done in our lives. Listen to me now. We go through problems. I know that we face obstacles sometimes that feel literally overwhelming in our life. And there are days that we are so mentally attacked that we feel Jesus has left us, but we know that's not true. Loved one, listen to me. It says that God has given us all things, everything we need. That is a divine, unchangeable fact from the mouth of the God who cannot lie. Amen. And not only that, we have everything, everything right now. We don't need another self-help book. We don't need another convention. We don't need another retreat. There's nothing wrong with those things. I'm just saying we don't need it. We have absolutely everything right now that pertains to life. Everything. Do you understand? We have the Word of God. We have everything, everything that we need that pertains to life. We have everything that we need that pertains to godliness. We are completely complete. Do you understand? We have absolutely everything. And here's the problem. False teachers then, false teachers today, and I know I've heard them. Some in my early times, I almost believed them. They say, oh man, we're saved, but... That's a dangerous word, but you need this, or you just need a little bit more, because really you're not there yet. Jesus just isn't enough. You are a liar from hell. Jesus is enough. Amen? Yes. So look at it again. God says you don't need anything else. God says this, you are, present tense, right now again, complete, completely complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. There is our position again. We in Christ Jesus are completely complete in Him. And look what it says now. Who is what? The head, the origin, the source over all that is. Over the source of all life. He's over everything that exists in heaven. Do you understand? Everything. He sustains absolutely everything. Jesus is Lord. Whatever powers there are in heaven, under the earth, on the earth, wherever, whatever is out there, Jesus is the Lord. He has preeminence. He is over absolutely everything. It says all principality and power. And remember, see, now listen, the Gnostics, did they believe in principalities and powers? Yes. In 2:18, it says they worshiped the angels. But they were not the good angels, God's angels, the holy angels. They were fallen demons. Now, it's interesting that what they worshiped, Jesus was Lord over, and yet they were saying Jesus is not supreme. Do you see what I'm getting at? Oh, how complete are we? We are completely complete, but we're also something else, loved one. We are right now completely saved. Look at this verse. Man, it says, in Him you were, that's again past tense, circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh. How? By the circumcision of Christ, meaning His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and so forth. Listen, there is no such thing as being halfway saved. Do you understand that? You either are a saint or you ain't, okay? That's it. No, there's no saying as I'm halfway saved or I'm partially saved. No, God doesn't work that way. When God saves, He saves completely. Does that make sense? We are completely saved, loved one. So these Gnostics, if you will, you know, once they kidnapped a believer, you know what they did? They weren't really flowing so much along the Judeo lines, the Jews, but they did borrow from them. What they did, they forced, if you will, now if you're really going to come into the body, if you're really going to be saved, here's what you have to be circumcised. In other words, you know, legalism. Now, so what were they saying? The same thing they say today. They were teaching, yeah, don't deny Jesus. We know Jesus. We love Him. However, you're just not complete in Him. You're not complete in Christ. Faith alone is just not enough. That's what they were teaching. In other words, if you're really going to be saved now, here's what you have to do. You have to really mark your body. You understand? Circumcision, in other words. So this Gnostic legalism, it taught that circumcision would do this. It would make you, number one, you're going to be so much more spiritual. You know what I mean? You're going to be closer to God. And not only that, when this occurs, you will now be on the road to become complete, completely saved, if you will. Listen to me. They would teach and say, now you will be the spiritual elite. You will be a cut above the rest. No pun intended. You understand? That went right over your head, didn't it? No. Listen. Paul the apostle told the church at Galatia, he said this, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, and I can say and add to that legally, or any ritual, okay, that you do. It says, nor uncircumcision avails anything. In other words, it doesn't contribute one thing to you being saved. And then Paul says, but a new creation. Philippians 3:3 says, but we are the circumcision, or we are the believers, we are the true circumcision who worship Christ in spirit, our God in spirit and in truth. Jesus told us in John 660, in the Bible, 663, I think it is. He says, the Spirit gives life. The Spirit, He's the one who gives you life. The flesh prospers or profits nothing. Amen? Yeah. Listen, religion is always external. It's something you do. It's, you know, but new creation is internal. Now listen to me. Our hearts, we have been completely saved because our hearts have been permanently, eternally marked by Christ Jesus. Amen? This is not with physical hands, but with His very own hands. Divine surgery wasn't ever done by man. It was done by Jesus Christ Himself. And here's the thing. Circumcision, it can't be undone. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, neither can the circumcision of our hearts. Amen. We are saved. We are completely saved. The Bible says this in Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified, literally together with Christ, that the body of sin, now if you look back at 11, it talks about that we put off the body of sins of the flesh. Listen carefully. Our old man crucified with Christ, knowing that the body of sin might be done away with. In other words, the command post, if you will, for carrying out sin's orders, the old man, the old nature, all that we were in Adam, if you will. It says it's been done away with. Now, that doesn't mean annihilated. It means rendered inoperative, and it's a fact, not a feeling, amen? And you still have to keep putting off the old man because he wants to get back upon the throne of your heart, amen? Now, look at the next one. We have not only been circumcised in our hearts, that new birth, completely saved, but we were buried not in him, we were buried with him, loved one, entombed with him. It says in baptism. Now, that's not water baptism. That's speaking of 1 Corinthians 12:13, about by one Spirit we were all baptized into the body of Christ. That is the new birth, amen? Okay, so let's look at it again. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also, we were buried, now we're raised with him. How? Through faith. The working of our faith. We believed in God, amen? Through faith of the working of God who raised him from the dead. So Jesus' death is your death, amen? Listen, what did Paul say in Galatians 2:20? It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who what? Liveth in me. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Man, I died. No, Christ's death is our death. His burial is our burial. In other words, we identify with him. We go down and then we come back up to walk in the newness of life, if you will, if we mentioned, say, water baptism. But actually, Romans 6 is not speaking of water baptism. Now, with all that being said, also Christ's resurrection, it was our resurrection. As far as God the Father is concerned, Ephesians, I think it's 2:6, what does it tell us? It tells us that we, present tense, right this moment, are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Amen? That's our position. As far as God is concerned, you're already home. See, when God saves, he saves. He doesn't partially save you. He doesn't go, I made a mistake. He doesn't say, God, I wish I can't handle this dude, man. He's too much for me. No, that's not what God does at all. Listen, Jesus not only died for me, Jesus died as me. Oh, thank God for that. And look at the next. And you, this is what we used to be, not anymore. And you being dead. Do you know that people that are not saved, now listen, are dead. Dead. You've never used that word of a believer. Believers are not dead. When we die, we depart. Amen? So before we knew Christ, before we were born again, we were, now listen to me, completely dead. We were not ill. We were not, had whatever in your arm trying to keep you alive. We were not ill, none of those things. We weren't even just almost dead. We were completely dead, meaning dead to God and alive to sin. Look at it. Being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, meaning sins, meaning the body of sins that we just talked about. Now, anyone, as you already know, outside of Christ, man, listen, they're spiritually dead. They're separated from God. They don't know God. They go through the activities of life, but they don't have any spiritual life, okay? No, they are dead, man. Listen, you can study out anything you want to in this world. Like, for example, we're talking about traditions of men and philosophy. You can go memorize all of the philosophers. You know, in college, they make you study all that stuff that most of it I didn't even understand. You know, go read Aristotle. Go read Plato. You understand? Go memorize something by Voltaire or Nietzsche or like I remember years ago, I loved the author Ayn Rand, who total messed up woman, outside of Christ. I mean, go sing Imagine, I don't know. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Remember, no hell below us, above us only sky. I forgot the next part. What is the next part? Imagine all the people living for today. I don't know why I do those things. My wife, she cringes. Go, Bill, God, please, please, please. I don't know why I'm silly sometimes, but I will say this, you can imagine all you want. You can read anything that's outside of Christ and you will remain forever spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins, but that's not what God did to us. Look what he did to us. Oh, thank God. And he, meaning Jesus, has made us, okay, alive together with him, having forgiven, that's past tense, having forgiven how many of your trespasses? Now listen, we are not only completely complete in him, we are not only completely saved. Loved one, you've got to listen to me. Every moment, I'm not talking about antinomianism here where there's no law and you can live any way you want to. I'm talking about what the Bible says. You are, if you are in Christ Jesus, and the devil doesn't want you to believe this, he wants to torment you, but you have been completely forgiven. And that word for forgiven right there means this, the complete removal of sin, past, present, future. Jesus died for the sin of the world. Amen? Every generation. He paid the entire debt. Forgiveness means to send away or to carry away. So God's forgiveness is always complete forgiveness. Paul the Apostle writes to the church at Rome in Romans 4:7, and he says this, blessed are those whose lawless deeds or transgressions, if you will, are forgiven, carried away. He says, whose sins are canceled. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. In other words, will not impute sin to your account, will never charge you with it. Man, the Bible's so clear, loved one, in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Oh, listen, Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. We couldn't pay it at all, loved one. Listen, God the Father treated Jesus, our Lord, as if he had sinned all the sins of the world himself, yet he was without sin. All the sin of the world he bore upon that tree. He took it himself for you and for me. Amen? Christ himself did all of that, loved one. Listen, and the purpose again is that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen to me. Sin is real. Boy, listen, there was a real death. There was a real suffering of death. And loved one, listen to me now. There was a real transfer of mankind's sin to him. And there was a real imputation, remember, of righteousness to us. Imputed righteousness. That word, remember, means this: to take what belongs to someone else and transfer into our account. We now have our position in Christ. We have the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. And God, right this minute, loved one, listen, right now, right this minute, when you leave today, tonight, right now, he treats you in your position. He treats you as if you have been perfectly obedient. Do you understand that? Perfectly obedient. Completely obedient, just as Jesus was. Why? Because he put into your account the spotless, sinless record of Christ. When he sees you in Christ. Amen? The blood of Jesus has cleansed us from all of our sin. Listen to me. God the Father, we run to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. He treats us when we arrive, unless we need to confess our sins. But if we do, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen? Now listen, he treats you when you go there as if you had never, ever sinned. Do you really believe that? No, is that really living in your heart? If not, I'll tell you what false teaching can infect you. You need to be immune from that. You need to believe that. You need to have a true picture of your sin, my sin, man's sin. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 14. It says, look what God did, Jesus did, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was what? Against us. It wasn't for us, talking about the law, our taskmaster, loved one. It was also contrary to us. Let me give you the legal definition of that. Contrary to us, binding us legally, loved one, but powerless to save us, a keep. And it says, and he, and may I add, no one else, has taken it out of the way. He's removed it. He's carried it away. Having what? Nailed it to the cross. Nailed it to Jesus. Do you understand? He was nailed with what? With the sin of all mankind. Oh, that word, having wiped out. Oh, that is a beautiful word. You know what that word means? It means not only just to blot out. It doesn't mean just to erase, okay? Like if you erase a board, a chalkboard. No, no. That word literally means this. Canceled. Canceled. It's a legal term. It wiped it out. Remember when we get to heaven, what does the Bible say in Revelation? That God himself will wipe away every tear. That's the same word. Oh no, you can't have tears here. Erase. Canceled. Never to cry again. Does that make sense? No tears are allowed in heaven. No, no, that's over with. Oh, he says, having wiped out, having canceled the handwriting that was against us. What handwriting was that? That was the finger of God. Amen. Remember how when Moses was up on the mountain and God with his own finger, remember what did he put on the stone? The Ten Commandments. Have we broken the Ten Commandments? Yes. All mankind has broken the Ten Commandments. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All mankind, it says in Romans, is guilty before God. It's a legal thing. That means that all of mankind signed an IOU at the fall. In other words, like one scholar says, and I love this, I love the way he phrased it. I wish I could phrase it like this. He says, what was signed by Adam and imputed to all humans and held over us by Satan is wiped clean. Isn't that a beautiful way to express that? In the words I just gave you, we could put it this way. We're not only completely forgiven, but our sin has been completely canceled because we are completely cleansed in the eye of God. Boy, we are cleansed. 1 John 1:7, we are cleansed by the what? The blood. The cross, the blood of Jesus, everything that we'd ever done, it had been nailed right there. God says, here's a certificate of our debt. And now he says, there's just nothing on it. It's all been erased. It says, Christ paid it himself. Look at it. Having, past tense, nailed it to the cross. All of your sin, your shame, your guilt and mine as well. Everything that has offended God. Every stupid thing that I've ever done, every foul thought, every foul word that came from my mouth, every wrong motivation has now been erased, has been canceled. Loved one, listen. It's not there. I got to hurry. Listen to me. Over the cross, what was above Jesus' head? What was it? What did they nail above him? The placard, written in three languages. Okay, that was the charge that's against him. You know, he said he was the king of the Jews, and he wrote in all Greek and Latin and Hebrew and so forth. That's why they crucified him. Now listen, that placard, when God saw that placard and said that, he didn't see that. He knows he's the king of kings. Amen? No, I'll tell you what God saw in that placard. He saw you. He saw your sins. Jesus died as me and for me. Amen? And there's a book. There was a book for Bill, and it said, oh, page and pages and pages of all the things I'd done. And God says, by the blood of Jesus, they are now completely erased. They're gone forever and ever and ever. Jesus has paid our debt. Amen. That's what we always need to remember. Oh, praise the Lord for that. 400 years before Christ was born, the Greek poet Agathon said this. He says, even God cannot change the past. He was wrong. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:25, I am God says, I blot out all of your transgressions. And he says, for my sake. You can't do it. I did it for my sake. And then he says, I won't remember your sins. I'm not going to remember your past. I'm not going to remember any of those things. Loved one, listen, in Christ Jesus, what a great second shot. Oh, this immunity. In Christ Jesus, we are completely complete, completely saved, completely forgiven, which means we have complete acceptance before God the Father. No matter what we had done, we are now, the Bible says in Ephesians, we are now accepted in the beloved. In other words, God the Father loves you exactly the same as he loves God the Son. Praise the Lord for that. We have not one written accusation against us. Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. But listen, we got to hurry now. But this one is so good. This next one here. Look what Jesus did to the one who wants to kidnap every person in every generation. Here we go. We have, because we are in Christ, we have absolute, complete victory over the wicked one. Amen? Watch this. What did Jesus do on the cross? Having stripped. That's what that word disarm means. That matter of fact, in the Greek, the word disarmed is a strong word. It's not just stripping off, say, a garment. It means like so powerful you could pull a person's arms completely off, okay? That's how powerful this is. Having disarmed or stripped what? Principalities and powers, all the fallen angels, all the demons, all the Satan. And look what he did to them. He made a public spectacle of them. Oh, and how? Well, he triumphed over them in it. What is it? The cross. The cross of our Savior. Isn't it amazing? You see, the kidnappers, they didn't believe it, but they were kidnapped by the one who kidnaps everyone that's not saved. Amen? You're talking about deception. No, listen, the false teachers were taken captive by the greatest kidnapper of all time, the devil himself. That right there, this verse I read, is a picture of a triumphant, like in Rome. In their day, they would come back triumphant from beating up the enemy, capturing the enemy, all the booty and all the rest of it. All the people that they brought back were chained, and they would be drugged through the cities of Rome, and people were throwing out garland and celebrating and getting drunk. And it was a wild time, but it was a celebration. Sometimes it went on for days. This right here is a picture of our general, our commander-in-chief, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you know what he's doing? He's dragging all the demons and the devil himself. They are in his chains, and he is publicly displaying them before all the universe as defeated. That's what he's done. The one who had the power over death, the devil, you know, he's been stripped of that power now. Do you understand? Yes. Oh, listen, Jesus on the cross, what did he do? He tasted death for everyone. Oh, I look and I say, oh, Lord, you made a public spectacle of those people, those demons. Listen, in Christ, I know it's time to close. In Christ, no matter how you feel, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your visible, your eyes may see, loved one, listen, we have complete victory over the wicked one because we are in the one who defeated him. Amen? 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Loved one, listen, we know that the devil exists. We know that his angels exist. But listen to me now. Yes, they do. They're real. But listen, don't you ever forget this. They exist completely defeated. Completely defeated. Jesus, he defeated upon the cross. Listen, we're the only people on this planet that have divine protection because we are in Christ. Read Romans chapter 8. What will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Not even created things. Not angels, not principalities, not death, not hunger, not the sword. Nothing. Nothing. Why? We are in Christ Jesus. We are solid. And you know what? You can't get back into Adam because you're in Christ. Oh, and I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, we're the only people, again, we have that protection. Every believer, as you've heard me say over the years, every believer fights from the point of victory. The devil, he fights from the point of defeat. James 4:7, submit unto God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will. Oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? He will flee. That word means he's going to run. He's going to run from you. Ephesians 6:10, what does Paul say? Oh, finally, brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Oh, loved one, listen. I look at this and I say, oh, Lord, I know what you're doing. No matter what I feel, no matter what I'm going through, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God who always leads us in victory in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what you're facing, no matter how dark the day, I'm telling you, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are being led in victory because you are the one who's overcome the world. Amen. And I look at that and I say, oh God, I'm immune. I have the second shot. I know and believe who I am in Christ Jesus. I know who I am. Oh, listen, I know this. Jesus is all I need. He is all that I need. I'm completely complete in him. I'm completely saved in him. I'm completely accepted in him. Oh, and I am complete, completely complete. And I'll never, nothing can make me incomplete again in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this day. And as our heads are bowed quickly, no one looking around, every Christian praying. Listen, if you're not in Christ Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you are incomplete. You're blinded. But you can come to him right now and he will save you. If that's you, listen, you don't have to come to the altar. Just lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord. If that's you this morning, just lift your hand high, put it right back down, and I will pray for you right where you're sitting, anyone at all. Then, Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody here is saved this morning, and I pray for those online. If you're not, ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Do it right now, and he'll save you. Lord, there's no one like you. Thank you for your word, because your words are life. Oh, they're life. They're the light to our path. Oh, God, I am so thankful. I'm thankful. Oh, I praise you. I'm thankful. My sins, our sins, they're as far as the east is from the west. Heaven is our home. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. We praise you now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. God is good. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we? The Lord bless you. You're visiting with us for the very first time. We're going to be departing over to the main lobby, the visitor center. They have a free gift they'd love to give you. I'd love to meet you as well. If you need prayer, remember you have to have a mask on, please, to come to the altar, and they'll be wearing a mask as well. They'll pray for whatever your needs might be. I love you dearly. Listen, make sure that's in your heart. Make sure that stays in your heart. Amen? Isn't God good? Yes, he is. I love you dearly. Let's sing to the Lord, brother. Take us on home.